Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards. Reliability starts here. Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And by Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Hey, good morning, and welcome back to hour number two of Let's Talk Hookup right here on the Mightier 1090 and the Let's Talk Hookup app. Pete Gray here with Rock Cod Rick Mexa on the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup right here in the hub of sport fishing in Southern California here at Fisherman's Landing and the San Diego Landings here with Captain Brandon Hayward from Bite Sport Fishing, having a great time talking fishing here with Brandon. Sea bass, swordfish, bluefin, yellowtail, lobsters, squid, all of that stuff.
Anything that's cool to catch.
Yeah, yeah, it's all cool.
Yeah,
yeah.
I like getting skunked too. You know, I just like.
No, yeah, no.
You got to need a little humility here and there.
And we're giving away a great prize today, too.
Boy, man, you're not kidding. How about that? One lucky caller at the end of the show today is going to win a full Seaguar fluorocarbon gift pack. It includes gold label, pink label, and fluoro premier. A great, great gift from our friends over at Seaguar. If you want to get your shot at that, or better yet, your chance to talk to Brandon, 213-432-1090. Again, 213-432-1090. Not only are we going to be taking your phone calls, giving away that great prize, you can also text us. Text the show via the Let's Talk Hookup app. Been some great texts already. We got a bunch standing by that we're going to read here in this second hour. Speaking of great times and great fishing, it's time to find out what's going on. It is time for the Catch Report today. Our FishDope.com report is sponsored by the Sato Crimp and Winder Company with products for serious sport fishermen. Make your own seamless top shots all the way down to 40-pound fluorocarbon with the Sato Crimp system. It's easy, cost effective, and big fish proven. It's all about bait presentation, and the Sato Crimp system will give you a seamless, easy to cast connection. Get Sato Crimps and supplies at selected tackle stores like Fisherman's Landing Tackle and the Longfin. Speaking of the Catch Report, let's find out what's going on. Our private boater buddy, Captain Mark Wish of Pacific Edge, is on the line. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Ricky, Pete, Brandon.
Good morning.
Great
good morning.
Show so far. Hey, and Brandon, I got to tell you, that last issue of the Bite, absolutely fantastic, dude. Just love it. Just love it.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I have a question
you
for you, Wish.
Uh-oh.
No, since you have more knowledge and backstory of this, so, and, you know, we learn by, like, listening and asking other people stuff. How come we never catch winter bait ground sea bass at Catalina anymore?
Oh, boy.
Because when they, quote, came back and you were catching them and your, like, life's work was to catch 100 a year, you would catch fish in the bait grounds and you would go grind up beaches, right?
Yeah, we did, as a matter of fact. Yeah, we sure did.
So why? Tell me why.
Yeah, where are they at?
Yeah, where are they?
You know, I don't know that answer, and I think about that question a lot because, you know, as the years have gone by and our water and patterns have changed. I don't think the fish have changed. They're just reacting to whatever's going on that they're swimming around in there. But we did used to catch a lot of big fish at this time of year. You know, January and February, a lot of time were really good sea bass fishing, if you knew kind of the little nooks and crannies where the fish are. So it could be, just speculating, because I haven't done a whole lot of it here in recent years, but we a lot of times would make our bait in one place and go fish someplace else.
Sure.
And just a classic example of that would be that bait that's kind of mounted up in there where it's at now, kind of Silver Canyon, Salta Verde off the V's like that. But you might make a tank of bait there and run up, just as an example, to that hard bottom that's in 18 to 22 fathoms just west of Pedestal Rock.
Yep.
And fish on that. And that was like a January spot that produced tonnage of big ones.
Okay.
You know, just saying.
Yeah.
It's kind of on the, just below that kind of prime area there.
Well, no, you're wide. It's in between Cat Harbor and Little Harbor up there.
Oh,
you know, just a whole, it's just a whole different area. And, you know, a lot of guys, now we're getting into a sea bass summit here, but a lot of guys you know, they always got to fish sea bass where the bait is.
Right.
And one of the guys that really knows a little bit about this, the famous Alan Watson, you know, he told me one time, he says, well, there's no law that says you got to fish where the main part of the bait is. Why don't you go fish where the main part of the fish is? You know, in Alan's classic way.
Right.
And and that caught me an awful lot of fish over the years. But, you know, for people that have the herd mentality that got to fish around other boats and got to, you know, kind of be in there with the crowd, they can't handle it. They can't handle it.
No, I get it. I'm just curious why we never catch bait grounds fish anymore.
Yeah. And you know, it might be that they just haven't moved in yet. It doesn't seem like, you know, the guys that I've been hearing from, it doesn't seem like they're marking much fish. A lot of times you're marking them before they start biting.
Sure.
And I'm not hearing much of, you know, it might just not be there yet. They haven't swam in yet. Yeah. I don't know. One of them things.
Yeah.
That's what makes that fish so darn challenging.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Questions we have about them, you know?
Yeah. No, thanks for that. I mean, you have so much history and
I mean, the Bible, the in gray, man.
Absolutely.
Like, in fact, last time was when I was at Catalina with Brandon last time, and he's like, you know, all this info's in the gray. Read it.
Totally.
Yeah.
No, it's a great roadmap.
If you can get a copy of it.
No, we got plenty of them.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. No,
so if somebody wants to learn fishing at Catalina, that's the book, right?
It's the book. It's my version of sea bass fishing at Catalina. Now, there's plenty of other guys that may take a different slant on them, and that's great, more power to them. But I spent an awful lot of time trying to figure it out and had good fortune to be taught by some really good guys. So
I do feel like
at any rate.
Not to get off subject, but I do feel like that fish is turning more into how it was in the book, whereas in 2009 to 2013, I mean, you couldn't catch nothing over there in April, right? So
no, you're absolutely right. And the at the end of my page of notes, it says the setup this year feels a lot like seasons in the past when we used to clobber them at this time of year.
Okay.
And it does. So if we just stay with this kind of cooler pattern and not too many storms to wash out the water and stuff, you just watch out for late February and especially March to be just game on. So we'll see.
I feel the same. Okay. Well, cool. Thanks.
So is that this week's report, or do we got time for a little report?
Go ahead. Go for it.
Okay. So we'll start local here. Nice weather this weekend, thank goodness. So we're going to get some good coverage. A lot of guys going to be looking around. And bass fishing has been surprisingly good for this time of year. Guys fishing deeper structure and fishing low and slow like a leadhead and squid or plastic with a strip of squid like that. Man, it's been good sand bass and calico bass fishing. And at the islands, I didn't have any reports at all for a while. And the last one was interesting, good yellowtail fishing in the cove on the bait grounds there. But that's been a bit, and then did get an interesting rumor from SBI, and guess what? Big Yellow's on bad bottom and deeper water up there, something to keep an eye on when we get the weather to get there, which we'll probably do this weekend, it looks like. And cats really shaping up in that bait situation. I mean, the stuff's around. It's not big volume. It's iffy. Some days it works, some days it don't. And but that area has been kind of backside east, backside up toward the middle there, Silver Canyon, Salta Verde, like that mostly. And but like we're talking, there's a healthy sprinkle of that good great yellow on it, and most of that is fishing deep, 16 to 22 fathoms, jigging squids, always good drop loop setups, always golden. And interestingly enough, there's been some mackerel fish caught this week also. So if you just happen to get a mackerel or two in your bait tank or take the time to catch them, it doesn't hurt to put a mackerel on a drop loop also, because surprisingly they're biting it. Sometimes they don't.
Something different.
And there's always a shot of that sea bass out there poking around Catalina. So
could happen, even in the bait grounds.
Yeah.
Even in the bait grounds. they should be there. And some of the, you know, like Brandon, you're an adventurous type of guy. You should be checking out some of those areas, some of that deeper structure up to the west there. It just does not get looked at much.
No, I know. I think that all the time. My knee jerk is just always like, ooh, I can go to the coast.
Yeah.
So, no, I need to do more of that for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
And we've had the weather for it, too, so that's good.
Absolutely.
That's,
to be able to fish all
okay,
night.
Okay, so I got a question for you then. Have you spent any time studying that new artificial reef they're building up there underneath the golf course in that zone there?
I'm familiar with it, and I drove past when there was kind of barges, and it looked like in front of my house, in front of San Clemente, where they're doing that. But I haven't spent any time there. No.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting when they get that thing done and the kelp gets growing on it.
Yeah, and it's nice to actually have an artificial reef out in deep water that almost mirrors another one that's in deeper water that produces, right?
Yeah.
And where's that?
Newport and Isers are the two best artificial reefs,
I think. Where's the one they're building?
It's smack dab in the middle of Palos Verdes, for lack of a better way to put it.
Yeah, right just below the golf course a little bit, and below the closure, thank goodness.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Well, of course, fishdope.com, you can find the numbers right there. They'll have it all. And $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW. Lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW is your $20 code on fishdope.com. And, Mark, how do we find you?
Well, Pete, we're in Huntington Beach. We're on the corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger. And the phone number at the store is area code 714-840-4262. And the website is pacificedgetackle.com. And thanks for the extra time on our little report here.
Thank you.
Thanks for the knowledge.
We appreciate it. Yeah, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
You got it. We'll see you guys.
All right. While we're waiting for Marcos, that guy over at Seaforth, who's going to be joining us here very shortly, let's go ahead and jump back into it, Rick.
You got it, buddy. Well, we got a fun text. This one was from Mario in Pasadena. He said, hey, can you talk a little bit about the Farnsworth Bank? Do you ever fish it, and does it fish differently than other spots?
Oh, this would have been a great question for Mark. Growing up as a kid, that was like the place where you'd bring squid in the fall, and you heard these crazy stories about it. I can't speak to there. I don't have enough knowledge. I don't fish there too often.
Are you still allowed to fish pelagics there, right?
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. But not bottlefish.
Correct. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, that's not a spot that's really in my Rolodex. Believe it or not, a lot of the people that I take when I'm fishing, they just want to catch sea bass.
Yeah.
You can tell them the yellowtail are biting, and they're like, cool, and a little bit of yellowtail bycatch along the way is great, but they want to spend their time fishing sea bass. I'm pretty one-dimensional.
And that's kind of a yellow spot.
That's 100% a yellowtail spot.
I've back in the early days, I've done a lot of scuba diving on the Farnsworth. Such a cool spot.
I've heard this.
I mean, yeah, it's beautiful purple coral all over the bottom.
Yep.
Lots of places that yellow can get down and cut you off on.
This is harking back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the show and people's outlooks on stuff. When we had all that hot water in El Nino, that was a special time in California for the couple of years.
Yeah.
There were yellows on the Farnsworth in March and February because the water was warm and pretty much central Baja was here. But now you'll see people still out there when the water's like 55 in March because they had success there four years ago.
Right.
But that's a warm water, like yellowtail spot, fall, late summer type deal.
All right.
Yep. In traditional water patterns.
Okay.
That's awesome. Well, hey, let's continue with our catch report. Find out what's going on down at Seaforth Sport Fishing. Talk to our buddy Marcos. Marcos, what's going on at Seaforth?
Good morning, guys. How's everyone doing today?
Great.
Well, we definitely had better weather this week than the last time I talked to you guys. We actually got some trips out. And the Sea Watch heading down the coast there, they had some very good sand bass fishing on those half-day trips. Yesterday, 41 sand bass, 6 calico bass, 21 sculpin for 19 anglers. And when we got out during the week, it was very similar over the last week as we talked to you since we talked to you last. So very good fishing there. Definitely check the website for their schedule for those half-day trips. And again, we're running a little modified schedule this winter, which we don't usually do, but we're running one trip during the week and then two trips on the weekends. So seaportlanding.com, that full schedule is up there. You can make reservations online. And as long as the weather holds, I think we're going to have some pretty good fishing here for the next couple of weeks before, you know, the rockfish opens back up next month. So definitely worth checking out there. The other news is we talked about this. The Polaris Suprema is here now. And while they're going to be running a lot of longer range trips, they actually put up a schedule starting, in, I believe, in April for some day and a half trips. So if you want to give them a go and get out there on some half-day trips, I believe April, May, June, they've got some trips in there. That's all up on the website also. So check that out. Again, you can make reservations online. And I went down there and looked at the boat yesterday, getting some bunk charts ready, and it's a really nice boat. So definitely worth checking out and going out fishing there.
Oh, yeah.
So a few options there for you. And unfortunately, the San Diego's, you know, still doing boat work there, but they'll be back in soon, and we'll put those schedules up there. So definitely keep an eye on the website for the great fishing on the half day. If you want to make reservations on Polaris Suprema, got on some early day and a half trips on there. And we talked about this before. For the longer trips, Mike's going to be handling those. For these shorter, the day and a half trips, we're going to be booking. So you'd contact us directly if you have any questions about those day and a half for the Polaris Supreme. Those longer trips, you'd call Mike, and all the information's up on their website and ours. So wish I had more for you, but like we know, it's February. We've got some great weather, great half-day fishing, so definitely check that out. Give us a call at the office, 619-224-3383. More than happy to answer you guys' questions and get you out there fishing.
Sounds like a good report to me, Marcos. We appreciate it. Thanks for keeping us up to date, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
We'll talk to them, guys.
Thanks, Marcos. Appreciate that. That wraps up our catch report.
You got it. Sponsored by Gamakatsu Nautilus Circle Hooks. They have been the top choice for the top anglers at the rail from that Nautilus Light, the standard wire Nautilus, and that new Nautilus HD. Now with squid around, that Gamakatsu Octopus 4 Extra Strong Hook is the top choice of white sea bass anglers fishing a live squid. Stock up on Gamakatsu Nautilus Circle Hooks and those octopus hooks at your favorite tackle store.
There you go. Okay. Let's go ahead and jump back on those jam-packed phones, Rick.
Chuck and Dana Point is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Hi, Chuck.
Good morning, guys. Just love the passion in you guys' voices. Brandon, you're always so full of knowledge, and you can hear the passion come through, you know. Just
I've been drinking all night.
So full of something.
You know? But, you know, I was going through my fishing pictures, showing some albacore pictures, and here I am in the corner. All the guys got their elbows on the rail. They're just sick of me and you. You got your hands on my shoulder. We were young, and I was using my spinning rod, and I didn't know. I thought I had my 20-pound test on it. Well, I caught, seven fish because I had my wife with me, and she took this picture, and it's just epic. Everybody's bent over me and you in the corner, me and you looking at the rod tip, and I'm putting my stuff away. Me and you are chatting, and I go, hey, I had my 12-pound test on. And you go, no way. And Ray's over at the bait tank fooling around. It was a pretty tough trip. And you come up, hey, Ray, you was using 12 pound. Ray looks at me and you and just shut us down. Don't tell anybody that. We and you just look,
we had the info. The best Ray story is a guy hooked a fish on a white spinning rod once, breaks the fish off. He throws the rod overboard, goes back into the wheelhouse, opens up his old school checkbooks. Remember checkbooks had four checks. Totally a leather bound thing. And there's a little stub on the side, how you keep track. Writes it, goes outside, puts it in the guy's cigarette pocket and goes, tell your wife to buy you a Penn 500.
So he threw his guy's rod real low.
That's what's missing from sport fishing.
Wow.
That's not the personality of Jake. Talk to you all day long and, keep you up to date.
Classic Ray Sobiak
story. So tell your wife to buy you a Penn 500.
Exploded, deleted.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you got that memory and didn't throw yours over.
That's cool, Chuck.
Hey, Chuck, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Appreciate that very much. For the first time all morning, we actually have a line open. 213-432-1090. 213-432-1090. You have a chance to win that great assortment of Seaguar fluorocarbon that we're giving away. Andrew will be standing by waiting for your phone call. And when you talk to Andrew, he'll put you up on the board and we'll get you on there. And I have an interesting text here. And it's from Ralph in Menifee. And Brent says, he says, Brandon, what's the most memorable bycatch you've ever had?
Which is I caught one of those Escalars on my watch when I worked on the Excel. That was pretty cool.
That's a good bycatch.
So I'm going to probably say that one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Well, that is a good one. Yeah.
We've did that swordfish thing quite a bit, and I haven't came up with some weird deep water thing from doing that yet. I haven't caught an Escalar or oilfish or anything, an OPA. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
So that, I'm sure something like that will happen sometime. But, yeah, that was the coolest, bycatch fish I've seen.
Yeah, that'd be cool if you're fishing for bluefin to get one of those OPA. It happens, right?
Totally. Yeah. I think if we targeted more in their water column, we'd catch more.
And what is their water column?
They like to be in, 60 fathoms, 350 feet of water, up higher than swordfish, but still down deep.
Down deep.
That's why yo-yo iron off a kelp paddy or a sinker rig is how guys catch them usually.
Ah, okay.
You ever caught a sunfish while you're sea bass fishing?
I have. They eat squid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah. Yeah, they'll eat your squid.
You mean like mola mola sunfish?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They
really?
Jump. Yeah.
We had a season, me and Neil, where we had three one season. I was just curious if that was a suit, but they're all in the exact same spot, that we were fishing sea bass and all with live squid.
Yeah.
Just thinking weird, funky bycatch. That's just one that you just don't ever think about having on hook and line.
And what do you do once you hook one?
Thumb the spool.
Just get rid of it.
The one we hooked was one of those super, which was funny because we were on the beach, obviously, fishing sea bass. The one was one of those super I mean, relatively giant ones, you know, probably over 100 pounds or so, and then the other two are like the size of a big paper plate.
You know, those ones are cool.
Two super teeny ones and one super giant one.
Yeah, wow.
They eat jellyfish, so it makes sense that they eat a squid.
Yeah, that is interesting. Huh. All right, let's jump into the phones.
You got it. Fred calling us from all the way out in Idaho on that Let's Talk Hookup app. What's up, Fred? Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. Listen, this is more of a kudos than a question talk, but I fished with Brendan in 2012 on the Independence. I don't know if you remember that or not.
Yeah, of course, and, yeah.
9 years ago, yeah. I really miss your long-range articles on one, but I'm sure you don't miss one. But
really.
I really geared up on all your information for that trip, and you know the Saber 770 extra heavy kept coming up all the time. So I built one, and it was just so perfect for that trip. And I managed to go once a year on a long range, and at 81 years old, it's starting to slow down a little bit, but we're getting there, and it's still hanging in there. So.
And what a great boat, the Independence, too.
That's nice.
Oh,
hey, it's
God,
great you're doing. So many people have been robbed of the opportunity to do anything later on in life, and that you're doing it is great, man. That's wonderful.
Yeah, we drive all the way down from Idaho on one long trip, and then we get there right around 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and then just look for a parking place. It's always packed. I did a 7-dayer last year, and I want to thank you for all your tutoring, because you are just so informative. I mean, you take the time to talk to people, and people ask you questions. It's just great. The only complaint I had from 2012 was sorting the fish out on the dock. You had, I think your number was 29.
Limit 15.
Yeah. And you were the absolute farthest one from where they were putting the fish. And, the, you know, you start dragging those 150-pound fish all the way to your number. I just said, oh, gosh. It was, you know, after the sixth one to your place, to your number, I was finished.
That's great to hear your voice, and thanks for the words. That was a really great trip, and I really like fishing with Jeff a lot. He's a great captain. Great memories on that boat.
Absolutely.
So thank you for that.
Hey,
well,
thanks
thank
a lot
you,
for
Brandon.
The call from Idaho. Appreciate that. You keep on rolling there.
Yeah, that's awesome,
yeah,
Fred.
That's really
you got
great.
That,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that away. Hey, if you want to get through, that does free up 213-432-1090. Open right now. You want to get through? Andrew's standing by, waiting for your call.
All right. So this next text is from Kurt in Mo Valley, and he just said, "Hey guys, I'm having such a blast, and I have to relive my favorite Ray Sobiak moment on the Producer in the '90s. That was my favorite boat with a great crew. When Ray said to wind them in, and you heard one motor start, you better start turning that handle, because as soon as you heard the second motor start, it was moving. Man, I sure missed that guy. Have a great day and keep up these Sobiak stories."
No messing around.
So when I come back,
we're out of here.
Maybe I can drag Dylan in by his hair.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
And we can kind of do something, because he's a classic, man.
Some old classic.
Yeah.
Ray was a guest on the show back in the early days.
Wow,
we
really?
We actually got him to come into the studio.
Really?
Back when we were on, I don't know, 690 or, I mean, I think it was before 1090.
Right.
It was like, yeah, way back when.
Right.
Yeah, I think he actually came in once
or twice. I think that's before me.
Yeah, I think so. This is, you know, we're
how cool.
Yeah. 25 plus years ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Neat.
More. So,
that's right.
Yeah. No,
he lives
no
in Montana
question.
Now, but he still comes down here, and I just always I want to do a profile on him. It would be epic.
Yeah, in the magazine.
Great for the
go
bite,
to
wouldn't it?
Montana. I want to just surprise him and just knock on his door with like 3 or 4 past crew members and to do something
that
kind
would
of fun.
Be cool.
That'd be pretty wild.
Yeah, but no, he was a great captain. There's just so much history down here, and that's what the neat part about San Diego fishing is. And you know, it's about catching the fish and everything, but just when you come down here, it's such a different experience.
Yep.
And for me, it's really special to have a boat down here, because I joke that sport boats stole my youth because I never really had a summer. But when I look back on it, it was one of the best chapters of my life.
Sure. Yeah. Hey, one of our great sponsors, Cutwater Spirits.
Love those, too.
Such good stuff. And I don't know that you heard, they have an ad in the Super Bowl tomorrow.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so stoked for Youssef and his
great.
Gang there. That so you watch for that when
oh, cool.
when they're going to be in the it's called Cutout with Cutwater. So, and that's a great ad. I've seen it's really cool.
So I'll be drinking a Cutwater Mai Tai while I watch
you watch
the Super Bowl.
When you said, guess what, I thought you were going to say they make triples now. I was like, see? Those things, they make a great product.
They do. Yeah. Cutwater, and we're very proud to have them as a sponsor, too. Youssef's a great guy, and the whole Cutwater team over there are really great people.
I want to make it very clear, I wasn't just saying that as a joke. I will be drinking Cutwater Mai Tai. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls, more great info. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the mightier 1090.
If you're looking for a high-quality cocktail that's also easy to enjoy on your next fishing trip, check out Cutwater Spirits' lineup of canned cocktails. Cutwater's master distiller and co-founder, Youssef Cherney, is a hardcore fisherman. In fact, he developed Cutwater with all his favorite adventures in mind. Youssef takes Cutwater's award-winning spirits, uses them to make real cocktails, and then puts them into cans so you can take them anywhere. It's like they were made for fishing because they were actually made for fishing. Check out their popular canned margarita made with real tequila, the Zest the Vodka Mule, or the Spicy Bloody Mary, which has some serious bite. They also make super refreshing vodka sodas in grapefruit, lime, and cucumber flavors. Just crack the can and enjoy a bar-quality cocktail even when there's no bar in sight. Back at the dock or at your evening anchorage in Catalina, Cutwater cocktails are exactly what you need for your next fishing trip. You can check out all 18 of Cutwater's canned cocktails at CutwaterSpirits.com and then look for them at your local liquor store. Then go ahead and set your cocktail free. Please enjoy responsibly.
One of the dream trips for most anglers is Alaska. There are so many lodges. How do you make a choice? It's easy. Choose the one most Let's Talk Hookup listeners return to time after time. Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. No one does it better than Kingfisher Charters. They offer the best service, the most comfortable accommodations, fantastic food, and the finest charter captains in Sitka. All for the ultimate value. One visit and you will understand why nobody beats Kingfisher Charters. Sitka is famous for some of the best runs of salmon in Alaska. And if giant Alaskan halibut is your target, the expert captains at Kingfisher Charters know the hot spots and can put you on a fish of a lifetime. Plenty of rockfish and huge ling cod are there too. And when it comes to fish processing, the best in Alaska is Kingfisher Charters. It's all included in your package. In fact, everything is included except tips. It is truly amazing how the Kingfisher crew continues the quality of service they deliver year after year. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136 or check kingfishercharters.com.
A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Dos, Pride, Tribute Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth, Sea-Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full-day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open party schedule, check SeaforthLanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Reliability. Yamaha is known for it. And it's something boaters value, because these days, few things are built to last. When we find something that is, we hold on to friendships, traditions, outboards. Because every second on the water is sacred. If you count on having this time, you need an outboard you can count on to power it. That's why boaters choose Yamaha for the long run, for life. Because reliability starts here.
Fillet knives shouldn't be disposable. Introducing APCO Fillet Knives that are built to last. Designed in collaboration with Boker Germany, APCO Knives feature 4116 German stainless steel, bonded with titanium nitride to ensure optimum corrosion resistance and exceptional edge retention. A non-slip TPR handle maintains a firm grip when processing game fish. Premium in every sense, APCO Fillet Knives are available in multiple length options to provide the right tool that gets the job done season after season. Fillet Knives from APCO. Any fish, any water.
Back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning. Talking fishing, phones piled back up, as you would imagine they did. If you want to get your shot to get through, that's 213-432-1090, and keep those texts coming.
Yeah, in this half hour, we have a very special announcement coming up. All I'm going to say right now, so just stay tuned, because it's a biggie.
I like biggie.
All right, for sure. Cool. Let's go ahead and jump back in the phones.
Cheer, Cardiff, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. What's up, Cheer?
Well, I guess I'm not the special announcement. That's cool.
Sorry, Cheer.
Hey, Brandon, I just want to thank you for your operation. I got an opportunity last year during COVID, and everybody knows what that's all about, to take my son and my son-in-law out on a couple trips on your boats, and Jake was our captain, and oh my gosh, that was priceless. And, you know, I know that I was listening to you, and, you know, you're really concerned about making sure that your customers have a really good experience. That's important to you. Well, we had a blast, and my favorite was my son-in-law, Trevor, who's a big, strong, 30-something-year-old kid. He got totally humbled by a 70-pound bluefin.
Nice.
Totally. It was awesome. He was begging for help after about That's an hour perfect. And a half. It was great. But I do have a question for you, Brandon. On your boat, let's just say hypothetically, you know, you tie into maybe a 300-pound fish or 250-pound bluefin. How do you battle something like that without having the big rail for rail rotting and all that? What's the style? How would you go about it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I should be thanking you for coming out with us last year, and we're looking forward to having you out again. So thank you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I want to call you about sea bass fishing anyway, but that's off air.
Let's talk about it and do it. Let's do this.
Yeah.
I know. I'm going to do it, dude.
All right. The great question on the rail and technique, and I get that quite a bit. Keep in mind that my best customer weighs less than 100 pounds and comes out and catches giant fish, just the two of us, right? So it's really about the technique more than being a 30-year-old stud muffin, right? Because you're training and using different muscles and stuff like this. Our rail fishing, there's two ways to do it. I usually, and the guys do too, when the fish is kind of settled in, you can kind of I just tilt the engine up so you don't have to worry about that or use a Y. The small boat becomes kind of like a bobber, and you can still rail fish on the side of the boat, just kind of like kneel down a little bit. Otherwise, we love to get people up in the bow. Because the West Coast bow rail on the Parker and everything, it's a great, great, great spot to rail fish. So that's kind of our technique. We kind of go with what the fish are doing. But in the end, we try to get you up in the bow. And it's super comfy up there and just kind of rail away on them up there if that's the style of fishing you want to do. Then it opens up the back deck, too, because once you got one on, the goal is really to get doubled or tripled. That's when you're really against the ropes and it's fun. So, yeah, that's a great question. But no one's ever came off the boat and been saying that they didn't like that style of using the rail and fishing on the boat.
Yeah.
No, it was a total blast. Don't misunderstand me. It was a blast. And Jake
I know. I got that.
Jake is awesome.
What did you guys catch? Did you fish cows or what did you – it was popper fishing or what
no,
was it?
No, we went out.
I forgot.
The first time we went out, it was way too windy to get out to Tanner Bank or any of that. So we
–
Jake just had a plan and we went a little bit north. I'm not sure where we were. It was all foamers. Oh, my gosh. I almost had a heart attack. It was so exciting.
Cool.
It was nuts. And we ended up with four nice fish, four 70, 75-pound fish on the boat. And then the second time I went out, we went after those little yellowfin that were out off the coast here in San Diego. And we loaded up with yellowfin. My son hadn't been fishing in over 30 years. And he went out and just had more fun than a barrel of monkeys. And he's completely addicted, which I love.
I love that, too.
Hey, that's great. Yeah, very good. Yeah. Good story, Cheer. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Get your dates booked because they're going to go away.
I'm going to. Thank you. Thank you, Brandon. Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Hey, interesting text here. Brandon, can you and the reason I have it is because I want to know, too.
Okay.
Brandon, can you talk about your opinion on fishing on the drift versus the anchor? When do you decide to fish on the drift? When do you decide to fish the anchor?
That is a great question.
Yeah.
Well, to anchor, you obviously have to be in shallower water. On the big Parker, and I have one going on, I have one of those Lone Star windlasses, and there's like Dyneema on there. So we can anchor up in 100 fathoms on my little boats.
No
so
kidding.
I did that, yeah, after the Tanner Bank years and such, you know. When do I drift? When did I anchor? I anchor when I want to set up on a specific chunk of structure or something like that. Or if you're fishing around other boats, which, you know, it sounds great to find your own, but sometimes you got to fish in a postage stamp. If everyone's anchored, I'm going to go along with the herd mentality. I'm going to anchor, too, and not drift on top of people, vice versa with drifting. And it depends on the style of fishing, too. I will drift for sea bass, especially if I'm kind of this time of year and I want to kind of cover water, cover little beaches and fish little spots at Catalina. I'll pull into little spots and just kind of nose in and pull some drifts in there. Local, I'll drift, too. Overall, if it's open water fishing, drift, otherwise anchor. It really depends. This is a good example. When you came to Catalina,
right,
the best day I had, I was drifting.
Yeah.
There was no other boats. It's a little bait grounds area. The wind and the current was in a way where you could just slide down 20 fathoms. Perfect, you know? But guess what? Then the next day, it's uphill current and east wind, and it's just wonky, and you're just getting washed out too fast.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to anchor.
Yeah.
So I kind of let that day's conditions dictate
which way.
What I'm going to do.
And the fish, the spot will fish either way depending on the conditions.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah.
If it's a bait grounds thing and it's just glass and no wind and you're going to kind of stay in that one spot anyways and it's a pretty sprawling bait grounds that maybe goes 400 yards, I'd love to drift.
Love to drift.
I've learned a lot from watching Avalon locals. Some of my buds live there, and they drift a ton. So I've kind of entered drifting into my game a little bit more from watching them. I've learned that
for
from
sea bass and yellowfin Catalina.
Yep, exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the bait grounds.
On the bait grounds, yep.
Wow.
Yeah, they like to drift. But if it's a weekend, like this weekend, the guys aren't going to be able to drift.
No.
There's going to be boats and commercial boats working and such like that. But yeah, that's
it's
my
a good
general
question.
Thing. It's,
yeah,
a great,
great.
It's
yeah.
a great question. So sometimes you have to drift because of seals, like the Coronados. It's hard to stay put, not like when I was a kid and you would go on overnight trips and throw a chum line. Yeah. So, yeah, it just depends on that day's conditions. But as a general rule of thumb, if you had to make a rule for it, if I'm fishing a specific area of structure and I want the fish to kind of come to me and I'm going to throw chum and stuff, anchor. If I want to kind of cover ground and kind of, if you're drifting, the fish are moving and you're drifting as well, so it's like two trains colliding. You can drift into them or they can swim into you, cover more water.
Yeah, good info.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's jump right back into the phones. They're packed up. Bob in Lakeside is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. What's up, Bob?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, Brandon.
Good morning.
I was fortunate enough to fill in for a last-minute cancellation years back on a white sea bass trip and managed to get a couple of black sea bass and a halibut.
Nice.
The other two anglers on board didn't catch anything, and I just wondered what your thoughts are on the color of fluorocarbon. I was using the pink fluorocarbon for the very first time on the trip, and catching three fish kind of instilled a lot of confidence in me, and I don't know if it's just blind luck or if the color does make a difference.
Sure. You're curious what my thoughts are on that? Run with whatever you have confidence on. That's so huge just for anything. So you're doing something that works for you. That's great. In terms of color of fluorocarbon and everything, there's been studies done that pinks and reds disappear first in the kind of water column, so that could be the reason behind it. For myself, I just kind of fish whatever's free, to be honest with you. Seaguar sponsors the boat. I've been a huge fan of their products.
Seaguar Pink, Yellowtail.
I like it all. Yeah, it's great.
Yellowtail Catalina.
Totally. The years they didn't have ad budget and I didn't have them in the bite, I still went and bought it at the store. I believe in that product. I think it's good. But the pink versus clear is a great thing, and I'd love to see the two kind of fish next to each other all seasons in traditional things. The reason why you might have got three fish and they didn't get any is you might just be a far superior angler, and your bait wasn't sitting on the bottom, and you were doing something right other than that. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's a cool thing to look at.
Hard to say.
Yeah.
I will say this. When we were fishing together at Catalina a few weeks ago, we were fishing the dropper loop on a spot on the bait grounds, and I had one rod with Seaguar Pink 50 on a dropper loop and the other with Seaguar Clear 50. Both, we had two fish that day. Both bites were on the pink.
There you go.
I'm just saying.
Totally.
You know? I personally, you know, growing up with Bongo Joe fishing Catalina.
Pink Andy, baby.
Pink Andy, right?
Yeah,
I mean, and that's kind of like where I always go back.
Yep.
Right?
I'm down with that. Yeah. No, it works.
You know who that stealthy dropper loop fishing is. You gotta have that edge.
But I mean,
tricked you again.
Dropper loop fishing. I mean, does it make a difference? I don't think so.
Who cares? You know, there's a big
because you're fishing.
Totally.
You're fishing like just like big hooks and big sinkers and stuff.
But this is the thing about fishing. It's so easy to second guess yourselves, and I do it all the time too. So if you have what's in the water, what you have total confidence in, and it's worked for you, and there's a reason for it to work, hey, that's good enough.
Get it.
All right.
Fresh yellow on the grill is a good enough reason for anything.
You know it. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. All right. You ready for a little special treat here? We're going to Alaska right now and talk to our good buddy Seth Bone from Kingfisher Charters. Good morning, Seth.
Hey, Seth.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey, great to have you. And we have a very exciting announcement to make regarding Let's Talk Hookup and Kingfisher Charters. And that is we are going to be giving, as our for our San Diego County Ford dealers remote broadcast, the four live remote broadcasts that will be starting in late May, early June. We haven't set the dates yet, but it'll be pretty typical at the four dealerships that we usually do them at. We are going to give away one spot to Kingfisher Charters in 2022. Any available trip, right, Seth?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, any dates, no exclusions. So yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be our grand prize, and we've done it before. It was a few years ago, but this is a really a great thing because I know, Seth, you've had even during COVID, you had a stellar year last year and did such a great job with all the protocols and such like that, and I know that things are booking up like crazy for 2021, right?
Yeah, the bookings are strong. It seems like people have maybe been hanging out at home and laying low for a long time and really want to get out and travel and go fishing and you know, just that's the feeling we get anyway. Lots of calls, lots of interest, and the calendar reflects that.
Yeah, and I know, I believe, I'm not sure about our Let's Talk Hookup trip in June. Or do we have any spots available on that?
Yeah, I believe it's full for now, but it wouldn't hurt to check back, you know, if somebody was interested, maybe in a a few weeks, because, every once in a while things shift or somebody needs to postpone a trip, so it'd be worth a look. But as of now, we're saying it's sold out.
We're sold out. Okay. But there's always things that change. But you do have available dates in 2021, the summer of 2021.
Yeah, we do. It's, kind of a trip here, trip there, and COVID's still a thing, and, we still get a few people that are say, well, I'm still a little nervous. I'd like to, push my trip even a little later or whatever. So even though the calendar is, really full, it changes a day-to-day basis. So if somebody really wants to come up this summer, they can still get some good dates. Just give us a call, and we'd be happy to get them set up with something.
And what's the outlook for the salmon run?
Good. We're it looks like the abundance is trending in the right direction. And, it should be good. In fact, I've some of our captains have been going out here lately, just in the last few weeks, and getting kings. I think every time, you're not getting like a dozen, but if you're getting two or three in January, early February, that's pretty darn good.
Yeah,
it's awesome, man.
Yeah, take that anytime, especially that winter king. Ooh, so good.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah, so if somebody wants to book a trip, if they want to come in June, July, August, September, there's still spots available here and there.
Yeah, exactly. And we just got some good news on the halibut rigs here recently. It's going to be the most generous halibut rigs in at least a decade. We're looking at a 50-incher at the lower end, which is like a 60-pounder. And then at the upper end, it's instead of the 80-inch benchmark for a trophy, it's lower down to 72, which makes a trophy barn door even more attainable.
Yeah,
that's crazy. That's you're not
huge.
Kidding. That's a big
that's
difference.
That's huge. Yeah, for sure. 60-incher, that's a nice halibut. Nice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
And then it's still going to be one a day?
It's one per day, but the size limit on the halibut is considerably, it doesn't sound like much when you go up by 5 inches or whatever, but it actually means a lot for the size of the fish. So 50-inch halibut is a really, really nice quality fish.
Yeah, 50. So it was 42. Is that right? Or
well, it was 42 to start out last season, and then it bumped up to 45. I think. maybe right after you guys left or something, or right about that. Or maybe it was right when you guys got there, but it was right around that time. It got loosened a little bit, and then this year, yeah, and that's the stocks are up a little bit. It's a lot of taking into account that the COVID, there'll be some reductions. There probably won't be any cruise ships up this summer, so they can relax the limits based on reduced fishing pressure.
Nice.
And that's just great news, Seth. I'm glad to hear it. And, man, I remember when we went on our trip last year, I was so blown away that this was in the earliest landscape of dealing with COVID. Like, you guys did then, when nobody really knew how to handle it, a better job than people are still doing now.
Yeah.
But you guys did such a good job of making everybody feel safe and putting all the correct protocols into place that, in last June when this was such a big deal, it was such a good feeling. And I just, so for anybody out there that is hesitant because of that, I can say, having been there, you guys just did everything right. There was never a point in time where you didn't feel safe and everything wasn't, taken care of to the best of your abilities.
Yeah, as you always have done for, the almost 30 years that we've been working together with you. So, hey, Seth, if somebody wants to book one of those precious spots at Kingfisher Charters this summer with better limits and everything, how do we get a hold of you?
Number is 800-727-6136, and the website is kingfishercharters.com, or they're on the Let's Hook Up page there.
Yeah, right on the front page of Let's Talk Hookup. Just click on the Kingfisher banner, and it'll take you right to the Kingfisher Charters website. Hey, Seth, thanks a lot. We're excited about the big San Diego County Ford Dealer Live Remote Broadcast giveaway to Kingfisher Charters this summer. And one lucky person is going to be going to Kingfisher in 22 with you. So thanks a lot, Seth. We appreciate that.
Thanks, Seth.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
All right. Talk to you soon.
All right. Well, the phones are packed up. We're going to jump right back into them. Let's talk to Rich. He's calling us from Bradley this morning. What's up, Rich? Welcome to the show.
Good morning. I'm really enjoying picking up these little golden nuggets. It's like finding money on the ground this morning's show. This is great. Earlier, Brandon talked about... Yeah, big bucks. Brandon talked about his favorite thing was for rigging was a 3 or 4 foot piece of fluorocarbon on top of his Power Pro. So I'm wondering, what are the combinations of variation in size between the Power Pro and the Seaguar fluorocarbon that he is comfortable with, as well as maybe what he considers the optimum size variation between the two?
Well, that's a good question. I think Rick can speak to this more, but what I've always gone with is I just don't fish much heavier. So if I fish 65, I use 60 or 50, or you can fish 40 with that on down to 30, but it's tough to fish like 65 to 100 pound because it's difficult to tie knots unless you tie a uni, right? So I try to just match it up. Does that sound right?
Dead on. Yeah, for sure. Perfect.
Yeah.
So, right. So
match it or go
size,
down, essentially.
Like you can go up a size, maybe but you wouldn't want to go up by much.
Right.
And that's just for that, just for connection reasons.
Yep.
And then you can throw in the Max Quattro, too, and go thinner diameter, heavier line, too, if you have that option.
Yeah, perfect.
Right? Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
All right, let's grab another talk to Sam. He's calling us from Irvine this morning. What's up, Sam? Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning. Great show. Good to hear your voice, Brandon.
Yeah, same.
Hey, I want to say about your skipper, Dylan, before I ask my question, that I went out with him, and it was almost, you were right, it was almost like having another you on the boat. He told the race stories, and he goes, have you read the first book? And I go, of course I read the first book. He goes, I'm the anchovy fisherman, and the guy schooled us on
that. That's cool.
He's a really good rod.
Yeah, he totally schooled us on casting.
He's a really good rod and reeler. Of everyone I've worked with, he has the best eyes. It's pretty insane, and he's still totally got it. Like, when he first came back, I went on my buddy's boat, and he's like, oh, there's, flat spot over here, without binoculars on, just seeing, crazy stuff. He has exceptional eyes, and it's really impressive, and I'm very envious. So, yeah. And then you give him a pair of real binoculars, because he grew up with 7x50s like me, so now when he uses gyros, you're like, Wow. Okay.
We got, really cheap stuff.
Yeah. So he's a force to be reckoned with on any type of visual fishing.
Nice addition to the team.
Yeah, and he likes the swordfish probably more than me. Like, he's super obsessed with it and such. So,
did you have a quick question?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I was wondering when the best time, I was heading towards the swordfish, when is the best time for that? And it seems it has become a force in your repertoire there.
Last year, I'm going to say the best time recreational was August, had a pretty good little window to it, and a little shot in November, the year before, December. It's still pretty new to us on the recreational tip, so we're still figuring it out, but I consider that like a August to Christmas timey, January type fish. Yeah.
There you go. Hey, thanks a lot for the call.
Hey, when we come back, speaking of Seaguar Fluorocarbon, we're going to find out who's winning a full gift pack. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090.
Seakeeper, the leader in marine stabilization, has launched its newest, smallest, and most radically different model, the Seakeeper 1. Now, for the first time, stabilization is available for boats as small as 23 feet. The Seakeeper 1 is designed to eliminate up to 95% of boat roll on vessels 23 to 30 feet. With a fresh new look, the Seakeeper 1 has a compact flush mount installation and runs on 12-volt battery power. Installation is a breeze. It can fit under almost any seat. Now your skiff can enjoy the comfort and enjoyment that only a Seakeeper-equipped boat can provide. Check out the Seakeeper demo boat at upcoming shows and arrange a free test drive. Seakeeper has changed the lives of many Southern California anglers, including Pete Gray, and will allow you to stay on the fishing grounds when others need to head back to port. Visit seakeeper.com/take a ride to arrange a demo. Eliminate up to 95% of boat roll on your trailer boat. Seakeeper. Once you feel it, you'll never boat without it. For all your insurance needs, Snap Insurance is your top choice, providing anglers and boaters with the best in boat insurance and the lowest rates. The experts at Snap Insurance will make sure your boat and property are covered right. Traveling to Mexico? Snap has you covered. Work with your agent to wrap your home and auto with your boat policy to save even more. Get advice on your current boat policy or any of your insurance needs. Snap Insurance, 800-527-6617 or snapins.com.
For quality, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among anglers. But Islander Charter is much more than great fishing. They also do incredible Guadalupe white shark diving trips, as well as a schedule of kayak mothership trips. Check out islander-charters.com. The Islander is San Diego's leader when it comes to 1.5 to 5-day fishing. Experience the Islander difference. Visit islander-charters.com for all the details.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. All right, it's time. The big winner of that Seaguar Fluorocarbon Killer Package, including all the great styles of Seaguar, is going to Armand in Seal Beach. Congratulations, bro. You are going to love fishing with all that great Seaguar.
Yes, absolutely. And Brandon Hayward, you're going to love going fishing with Brandon Hayward and his team of guys, too.
Yeah,
all good guys.
Absolutely, yeah. Thanks for having me. It's always great to have the show. And I like coming out because it makes me think about things that I don't usually think about.
Well, we never really delve deep into the magazine either, so we'll have to do that again.
Yeah, we'll come back on the flip.
So if somebody wants to book a fishing trip on Bite Sport Fishing.
Yeah, if you want to do that winter stuff we're talking about, where the only days we're open is the 16th to the 19th for February. And March
16th to the 19th.
Yeah, it's okay.
Good
Tuesday to Friday.
Right?
Great weather. And February was good last year for everything as well. So we got that.
And that's lobster, sea bass,
yellows. Yeah, yellows are biting every day. And if you want to come out in March, you know, that's a great time for your sea bass, tail end of March, tail end of lobster. People think lobster's done in March. It's not. It can be the best.
Yeah.
So love to get you out. Got a little bit of opening there, too.
All right. And how do we do it?
Just you can give me a jingle, 949-212-0719, or just search Bite Sport Fishing, and it'll go to our website.
Yeah, and then, of course, with the Bite Journal, if you want to pick up a copy of that.
Yeah, you can get. We have a distributor, and he goes to all the tackle shops and bookstores and such. You can grab it on the shelf, or you can order it online, bitejournal.com.
Great, thank you. All right, thanks to Andrew, thanks to Adam for all they do for the show, and tomorrow, Captains Brian Woolley and Marcus Bailey from Dana Wharf Sport Fishing. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you tomorrow morning right back here on the Mightier 1090 and the Let's Talk Hookup app.